A practical theology of be separate from the world has made public relations a most difficult function to embrace. For some, having a public relations system just feels secular, worldly, and self-promoting. Can one declare that public relations serves as a basic part of God's redemptive plan? Has Jesus worked on this function since the fall? Does the DNA of the church contain basic essences of public relations? Is it enough to consider it a vital system of the church? The answers revealed in the Old and New Testaments, as well as church history, are a resounding yes. God continually communicated his redemptive plan and redemptive events both to his people and to the peoples of the world throughout history. This function clarifies the reasons and the methods God uses to communicate his plan of redemption through the ages. So get ready. Today is all about public relations in the local church, right here, right now, on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Hey, welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're so excited to be with you once again this week as we're bringing to you some issues that might help you as a spiritual leader in the local church. And today I'm excited about our topic. There's quite a bit of intrigue around issues in the church related to imaging and marketing and branding. And we might get into some of that today. I got to tell you, for one, I'm pretty stoked because football season is in full swing. Charles, I don't know about you, but I'm finding a lot to do on Saturdays and Sunday between college ball and the NFL. Man, the Panthers, my goodness. What's going on with our franchise there?
Well, not anything worth doing any public relations about. Nothing that we want to spread the message about, that's for sure. Man, I'm so excited for the kickoff to the season. And first play of the first drive of the Panthers' new season. Anyway, just interception, it just went downhill from there. So, but I'm confident that the guys are going to get it turned around, and there's going to be some, hopefully, a man of great faith. There's going to be some positive outcomes from this new season. All the fans around the world, whether your team is good or bad, it's a new day, it's a new season, and so here we go. Let's get ready for some football.
So, Charles, today the topic is public relations as it relates to the local church. And I got to tell you, when I think about public relations, it's hard for me to not think about marketing. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you, is that all we're talking about today, church marketing?
No, public relations in the local church is broader than just marketing or just branding. We're talking about a system that builds the kingdom of God, that builds the church and advances the kingdom of God. We're talking about a system that is scriptural. It's biblical. This is a divine system, a function that is God breathed for the local church. And so we're going to talk about some of that today. In fact, the system of public relations serves as a communication vehicle to declare God's love agenda for humanity to the church, to the community, and ultimately to the world. So right off the bat, public relations, in our view, in our understanding of how it works and is exercised through the local church, it's more than a logo. It's more than a social media ad. This is a system whereby the love of God and God's agenda for his creation, for humanity, is spread to those in the church, to the community, and ultimately around the world. So man, this is so much more than just marketing or a good branding plan or scheme. Just like the function of preaching and teaching communicates the words and will of God, the function of public relations communicates God's love agenda to the communities of the church and to the people outside of the church. So we're communicating, we're speaking God's agenda to those in the church and to those that we are serving outside of the church. Public relations establishes and designs internal and external communication methods that announce, that strengthen, even facilitate the ministries and relationships of the church within the within the internal and the external communities. So in other words, you have methods to communicate both internally to those who are in the church. There are ways, and we'll talk about ways and specifics a little bit later, but to begin to craft up or frame up a broad definition of public relations, you're developing methods to communicate with people in the church and then also developing methods and pathways to communicate with people outside of the church. Then I think the last thing we could say about kind of a broad definition would be that having good public relations for any church enhances the respect and reputation needed to minister to the religious, to the social, the business, and even to the political communities and demographics in the community, in the city, in the county where the church is established. So it's critical, it's vital to have good public relations as a local church. Again, I just go back to the early church in Acts 2. Scripture tells us that the early church enjoyed a good reputation, and as a result of that, daily, you know, people were being added to their number. God was doing a great work, and part of the work that he was doing through his church came through the church having a good reputation. So it's that's what public relations does for us. It helps the church have a good reputation. But not only that, it's a vehicle to communicate internally and externally to those outside of the church. So again, not an exhaustive definition, but hopefully a broad enough definition to give us a good framework to think through and talk through some things regarding public relations. Well, Bruce, there has to be some systems. I've tried to be broad enough for us, but maybe you could help us kind of focus in a little bit more with systems, a systems approach to public relations.
We talk about the local body of Christ is the church, and I think the human body is the perfect illustration, and more than illustration, I really believe it's more of a spiritual reality. And so as the church, when we think about public relations, and if we were to think about it, well, how would that be expressed in maybe a bodily system or a function of the body? I go to the sensory organs of the human body, our sensory organs. And scientists, you know, we've thought for years that they're the five senses: touch, taste, smell, hearing, seeing. But scientists are really unsure how many senses the body possesses. There's a lot of overlap, and there's a sensory mechanism in the body that seems to be outside of those biological organs of the body. And so when we think about how we relate to external reality, Charles, you used that expression earlier. Well, human beings, we sense balance, pain, barometric pressure, even supernatural presence. And I think that's the way that God has made us. And I think his body, you know, can function in the same way. It's the way that we interpret and express the reality that we're experiencing. And I can give you a quick idea of how this works. A lot of us When we try to explain something that we're going through, we use metaphors. We talk about maybe like a season of life, or we express things in those metaphorical ways that help us make sense of what we're experiencing, and how we interpret a life happening around us. So the church does that. The church talks about the presence of God. We resort to through the lens of the Bible to understand what's happening, but we experience that too. It's not just a quote unquote theological reality that we discern from Scripture. We are experiencing that in real time. And so the church has to sense how ministries and media methods provide not only a way for the church to stay visible in the community, but what the church is in the community. For example, every church has a way, or every community has a way of seeing their local church. And they identify that church by its personality, what they see the church doing, what they hear about the church. And just like you mentioned in the book of Acts, where the church was growing and having favor with people, well, how do we quantify that? How do we accentuate that? How do we build that kind of favor in our cities and our communities and our counties, whatever region our church is located? So public relations is a way of thinking about that. And there are some clear objective measurements for that that maybe the marketing world offers. But in reality, we want to start with always the basic question: what is Jesus doing in our local church, and how do we express that to our community? So Charles, you know, we're very intentional in our podcast. We don't teach anything that doesn't have its roots in solid theology. So let's talk about some of the anchors in Scripture for understanding public relations in the church.
Sure. I think the first bit of theology we can start with is the truth that God created humanity in His image. You know, we talk about the Imago Dei. The original couple, you know, Adam and Eve, fell into sin, disobedience, and lost their way. Scripture even declares that all have sinned and fallen short of original glory. And so as a result of these things, separation became the new norm. The good news, however, the gospel declares that Christ came to redeem all mankind and restore them, restore us into an eternal relationship with God. Man, that's great news. Christ has come to redeem us and to restore us into an eternal relationship. The bad news is that, again, here's humanity kind of messing things up. The bad news is that humanity remains blind and deaf to the good news. And then you add to this truth, add to it the truth that God and His kingdom are invisible. And so it really creates quite a dilemma. But again, in order to show humanity the pathway to God, the church must assume responsibility for its visibility in the community. Therefore, the church, through public relations, develops creative ways to pierce the darkness with God's light and overcome the blindness and resistance of humanity. So again, even Scripture and theology, we begin to build a base of theology that supports the critical nature and the critical task of having public relations within the church. Bruce, what are some other things that, some other theological thoughts you could give us to support this idea of public relations?
Oh, sure, Charles. There are a few more I can think of, but I just want to park on something I noticed in everything that you shared so far. It's full of metaphor. It's full of concepts, the mm-hmm. way that we understand, you know, the activity of God. One is the Imago Dei, that created in the image of God. When we talk about the message of the gospel, it is good news. You know, the idea that you mentioned humanity is blind and deaf. Again, there's a disconnect with mankind's ability to respond to the truth, and just the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the church is called to, you know, develop those ways of communicating that. Again, it's a way of understanding reality, and so those are firmly rooted in theology. So what I would add to that is that, you know, even throughout the Old Testament, God insists that his message, his agenda to show a loving, redeeming plan for humanity, it has to be communicated to everyone. And working through his chosen people, Israel, to reveal a savior. And God wants to make that known. And so that's when we talk about public relations, we're talking about making things known. The New Testament records the words of Jesus with the Great Commission, that we're called to announce his saving plan to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. So again, there's a messaging aspect to that. And, you know, I know that people are going to say, well, isn't that preaching the gospel? Isn't that door-to-door evangelism? Isn't that missions? And my answer is yes. And all of that ties into public relations. Mm-hmm. Whether you like the terminology or not, that's part of it.
Yeah.
I would also say, you know, the church can struggle with having the right attitude toward the world. We can be very isolated, mm-hmm. and, you know, but Jesus asked the church to be in the world, but not of the world. So our methods of communication, a lot of times I'm thinking that, you know, God wants us to make the gospel accessible to everyone. And so we have to use those means of availability, those vehicles. And then lastly, one last theological underpinning for public relations is just God's plan that salvation, his power to transform lives, to restore, it's available to everyone. But the church has to assume the responsibility of sharing that message and using every available means. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, that it tells us that that Jesus, who knew no sin, he became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so that's the message that the church has been transformed and called to make available. But Charles, obviously there are some disconnects between our theology and good public relations. So what will be some of the difficulties?
Well, for most churches, we remain isolated, separated, unknown, even hidden from our communities. Visibility and accessibility remain challenges for the church. I hear a lot churches talking about and proud of the fact that, you know, hey, we're the best kept secret in you know, whatever town that they're in. That sounds good, may look good on paper, but that's like the opposite of what we want to be. We don't want to be a secret, even if we're the best kept secret. We want to be visible. We want to be accessible. And most churches really have a struggle with that. A second difficulty, I think, would be that most churches exhibit little desire to engage, to know, and to connect to their communities. Meaningful community involvement in meeting human needs in a changing world continually challenge the church. And so that's a difficulty. It's a difficulty. If we're going to overcome these difficulties, then we're going to have to be focused, and we're going to have to be intentional in continuing to engage, continuing to meet the needs in our community. And again, being visible and being accessible. The church, a third difficulty, churches suffer from two extremes in regards to public relations. First, the extreme of isolation from the community, and then the extreme of an intense desire for community acceptance. So, on one hand, it's self-preservation, it's hold the fort, batten down the hatches. The other side of that is the goal for the church. The other extreme of that is we want to find acceptance in the church. You know, our goal is not necessarily to meet the needs and to reach people, but it's to be accepted into the community. In both of those extremes, the church loses the potential to serve as a transformational instrument in its communities. Another difficulty is while the church may offer some internal communication methods, external communication methods remain a challenge. And so it can be an uphill battle to build meaningful external relationships with the community because that becomes a greater challenge when we don't have those external communications. If the communication is not going to those external groups, then relationships are very difficult to build. And the final difficulty to touch on would be that the church tends to focus either on the temporal to the exclusion of the eternal or on the eternal to the exclusion of the temporal. So balancing relevance, meeting human need, and building for eternity continue to challenge the church and its Jerusalem harvest. And again, we talked about the Jerusalem harvest in some episodes about the evangelist. And so just as a reminder, the Jerusalem harvest is that population of the community who is most like the local church that we're serving in. So so anyway, those are some difficulties that can affect us in reaching that Jerusalem harvest. Bruce, any thoughts about maybe some divine urgencies that really restrict, I guess, the function and the flow of public relations in and through a local church?
Yeah, when we use the terminology divine urgency, some people may not know what we mean by that. We're talking about the things that where there needs to be some urgent attention. There are some things that I think the scriptures speak to that God gives us in His Word when it comes to things that we need to be mindful of and staying on top of, you know, as a church with regard to public relations. And I would say the first one is, and Charles, you alluded to it a few minutes ago. You mentioned how you've heard churches say we're the best kept secret in town. And I got to tell you, that can be a problem for your church because that means that your church is somehow isolated. It's separated. It's unknown. It's hidden. I remember when my mom and dad, when I was a teenager and we were dyed-in-the-wool Methodists. I mean, we were saved Bible-believing Methodists. And yet my mom and dad were hungering for a spiritual life. And you know, it was in a season of revival just nationally across the country in the charismatic renewal. And I remember my mom and dad wanting to satisfy that hunger and thirst. They wanted our family to experience all that God had for us. And so they began to look for a different place to worship. And so, you know, we looked and looked and looked and looked, and we usually going on the invitations of other people to different churches. My dad was pretty connected in town just by the nature of his work. And so, but the church that we landed at, we was right around the corner from our house, but it took us months to find it because their sign was obscure. And so, you know, when churches are not mindful of their external messaging, and that can be as simple as its signage. It can be as simple as its website. And so when the church remains isolated, then it's limiting its ability to reach people with the message of the gospel. The other thing to consider as a divine urgency is that fallen humanity is fallen. It remains spiritually blind and deaf to the voice of the Lord, to his word. And so because of that, his salvation vehicle of the church is largely unseen. I think we live, especially live in a culture that is more and more post-Christian. Churches are going to be marginalized just because it's not in kind of the national conscience. And yet humanity has fallen and desperately thirsty. And so we have to stay out front. We have to be very intentional about that. And then thirdly, I think the church is generally, again, this is a big generalization, but our communication methods are minimal, and they are not adequate to pierce the darkness and begin to show God's love for people in the world. And so those are some things that we need to stay on top of. And so one way that we can, and we're just going to give you a quick, simple set of thoughts to think about, but to be intentional, that means that as a church and as a spiritual leader of the local church, we need to begin to identify internal and external public relations methodologies for every church event, and begin to clearly and uniquely communicate to the church and its communities the purpose, the values, the benefits of those events. We'll get into more of more depth shortly, but remember that making sure that you clearly communicate those church events. We talked about doing evangelistic events last week. Well, every evangelistic event needs a clear, again, near clear public relations methodology attached to it. Secondly, they should fit the local church. They should fit the church's budget. They should fit the church's capabilities. And then finally, I would say that it needs to be scaled. The larger the church, the more methodologies need to be implemented. For example, a church of, let's say, 100, 150 or less, at minimum, you need 2 to 4 internal and external methods for each event. I mean, something printed and something public. So something that's going internally to your people, and then you need those same methodologies that communicate to your market. When I say market, I mean your community. Level 2 churches, they need more than that. They need probably 4 to 6 methodologies. And then, churches that are much larger, we're talking churches in the several hundreds, you're talking about 6 to 8 methods of communication, both internal and external. And a level 4 church, we're talking, we're getting into churches of thousands. Then you're looking at, again, a minimum of 8 to 10 methods for internal and external public relations. Charles, let's talk about some of those behaviors. Let's get more in depth, if we could. Where would you begin?
Yeah, I think the place to begin as the leader, as the pastor, as a leadership team, as you're developing public relations, I think a great place to start is to identify and align the most effective internal and external public relation methods with the 4 big evangelism Sundays and the 4 major sermon series. So if you kind of rewind last week, a couple weeks ago, we talked about a system of evangelism and identifying 4 big Sundays, and each of those big Sundays is preceded by a 30, 60, 90, 30 days of prayer, 30 days, which would be the 60 of invitation, I'm sorry, of serving, meeting felt needs, acts of kindness, and then a third 30 days, the 90 portion of invitation. All that culminates into a big evangelism Sunday. So you want to do that four times a year. And so as you're thinking about your big evangelism Sundays, what are the most effective internal and external public relation pieces that you can use to announce, to herald these big evangelism Sundays, these gatherings. So again, that's where you begin. Identify and align those most effective, again, internal and external public relation pieces for your evangelism Sundays. And also, I don't think we've talked about calendaring for sermons, but having four major sermon series in a year, you want to have public relation pieces for those as well. And all of this ties together, but so identify and align those most effective pieces. Again, a level one church is, Bruce talked about, about 150 and less, 2 to 4 internal and external methods for each event. So if it's an evangelism Sunday, say it's Easter, you've got your 30-60-90 is going to culminate on Easter Sunday for your big evangelism Sunday. What are the 2 to 4 internal and external PR methods that are the most effective that you're going to use? A level two church, again, church of 150 to, I don't know, 3-4, maybe even up to 500 in a church, you're going to use about 4 to 6 of the most effective internal and external PR methods. Level three church, you're going to use 6 to 8 different methods, and then a level four church would utilize 8 to 10. So these kind of behaviors help a church overcome the blocks in the public relations system or function in a church. Our desire is to help leaders in churches to get the public relations system functioning at a high level. And so these kind of behaviors help to overcome the blocks and get the function really working at an optimal level.
Charles, Bruce, before we leave this, I want to ask you, because I think we're talking about concepts that we understand.
Yeah.
But what would be examples of internal and external methods? What would you say would be?
I was getting ready
two
to ask,
internal methods.
Getting ready to ask you the same question. Okay. You're the PR whiz among us. But so if I'm in a level one church, again, church of about 150 or smaller, and I'm thinking of trying to identify two internal methods. That could be something as simple as a announcements on a screen before the service. I think bulletins are becoming less in vogue. Those bulletins seem to kind of be going out of style. I don't know, but bulletins or newsletters, websites, social media, those kind of things. Just begin to think about, how can we most effectively communicate internally? Some churches might use a texting system or a messaging system, and then, what are those 2 to 4 external communication methods that you could begin to use? Again, websites, social media, you've got signage, could be one. Again, you're just thinking about what is the best way to communicate externally to people who are outside of the church about this big Sunday that's coming up, or about this big major sermon series, or this big fellowship event that we're going to have. So I think those are a few methods. Anything that kind of rolling around in your mind, PR wise?
Yeah, I think especially in a sight and sound culture, mm-hmm. people are driven by not just images anymore, but moving images. And mm-hmm. I can remember when I first started at the church where I am now, almost 28 years ago. One of the biggest things, the big idea was getting a TV commercial, and that seems like such a big deal so long ago. And but I got to tell you, as our culture has changed over the years, and social media has become a big deal, mm-hmm. you cannot miss this. Social media gives you an outlet to do video-driven messaging, both internal and external. And like on our Facebook page, that's a primary means of internal communication for us. Mm-hmm. And I say it's internal because so many people in our church, so many people that call us their church home, we get messaging to them, and it doesn't cost us anything other than whatever maybe graphics we may have to create for those posts. But it can also become a really important external means of communication, because what do people do with social media posts? They share them. Mm-hmm. And so you need to be willing to leverage those opportunities, because that's what social media does. And we can gripe and complain. And I know we're in an election season, and the last thing that we want to see is more vitriol and opining about who's right and who's wrong on the political stage. But listen, if you see all that messaging coming through social media, then why isn't your church involved in being salt and light and making sure that the gospel and what God is doing in your local church does not remain hidden? So really, it's important to leverage all the means mm-hmm. that God has provided for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would just say a simple test, a simple kind of a litmus test that you can do outside of the things that we've talked about is just begin to go to different places in the city that you serve, in the community that you serve, and just ask them. Could you please tell me, where is Five Gifts Podcast Assembly of God Church at? I'm looking for it. Could you give me directions? Have you ever heard of it? Just begin to ask different establishments, different business places, different people. Hey, have you ever heard of this church? And so, could you help me find out how to get there? And, it'll open our eyes, eyes wide open sometimes, as we begin to realize, wow, I know where the church is and the people that attend where the church is, but does the community know where the church is? And it's hard work. It takes time and it takes effort. It takes intentionality. In fact, I'm thinking about a church that I pastored, and just, we were new in the town, new pastors, first week in town. And I'm, we're trying to find the new places to eat, the new places to go. And I'm asking the question everywhere I go, hey, have you ever heard of so-and-so church? Do you know where that's at? And I was shocked that no one knew where this particular church was at. Even places of business that were literally, right across the street. And they would say, no, I've never heard of that. I'd say, really? Yeah, I don't know where that's at. I never heard of it. And so I'm telling you, we really worked hard. We were very intentional, worked very hard and was very strategic. trying to through PR, trying to spread the good news of Jesus and that, hey, this church is here to serve you and serve your family, serve the community. And we were really focused and intentional on that. And I think we made some inroads and saw some success, but this kind of thing doesn't just happen overnight. In fact, as hard as we work and as intentional as we were, we made some progress, but I talked to the pastor who happened to follow me and he said, you know, I'm finding that, what I'm discovering is that a lot of people in the community don't know where the church is. And I said, really? I mean, we really worked hard at that. And he says, yeah, I'm just discovering a lot of the community doesn't know who we are and where we are. So on one hand, it requires a lot of work, a lot of intentionality, a lot of strategy, a lot of determination. On the other hand, it's not going to happen overnight. But the good news is that as we announce, that as we communicate and we herald the good news of Christ, and that His church is here in this city to announce that Jesus loves this city, Jesus loves the people of this community. Over time, that message begins to sink in, and in turn, I think it really leads and opens up pathways for a great harvest into the local church.
Charles, you know, I'm pretty certain, along with evangelism, I think public relations is one of the weakest functions in many churches. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good news is that it's not hard to change that. It just takes being intentional and creative, and mm-hmm. it's important because if you don't, then the wonderful message of life that is in the heart of your church, it doesn't reach the community.
Yeah.
And so the church has to put some money in that direction. They have to put some effort, they have to put some mm-hmm. creativity, because it doesn't matter how great your church leadership is. It doesn't matter how mature your disciples are. It doesn't matter how beautiful the church is with the people that you have inside of it. The church has to connect to the community.
Yeah.
You know, a great image for me is to think of Jesus moving through the crowd and being accessible. And a woman who had been with a severe issue for several years was able to push up close and touch him because she knew he was there. Mm-hmm. And the virtue of Jesus was released into her life and completely transformed her physically, spiritually, socially, even. So remember, God is invisible, but the church has to be visible. The church has to remain visible to the church and take responsibility for that. And again, public relations is a vital partner with your evangelistic program. And it's an essential function.
Absolutely. Public relations is not a dirty word.
No.
But we need to change the culture, change our thinking, change our mindset, and change the culture within our churches to move public relations from a secular, it's not a secular term, When we hear the mandate of Jesus to be in the world but not be of it, it should move us to begin to think of public relations not as a secular term, but as a sacred term. Now all of a sudden we're not just marketing, we're not just branding, but through public relations we are announcing that Jesus Christ is here. He's in this city, he's in this community, and he's here to love all the people through this church into this community. And so it really moves from a task to now public relations becomes a sacred act of worship that the church is involved in to reach the city, to build the church and to advance the kingdom of God. So we hope you've heard something that's inspired you, made you mad, but either way moves you to action. in leading the church in public relations. Thanks so much for joining us today here on the Five Gifts Podcast. Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, smash that button, share it, do all the things you need to do. Help us to get the message out. Be a personal relations guru for us and help us to share the message to announce what God's doing through this podcast, through the Five Gifts Podcast. You can reach me, Charles, at charlesrussellministries.com. Love to serve you, Pastor, serve your church. If you're listening and you're in an environment outside of the church, you can reach me at charlesrusselltraining.com. If you have church issues, church questions, charlesrussellministries.com. Love to serve you. You can reach Bruce at coachingcardia.com. Man, I'm telling you, he will do a top-notch job coaching you through issues, overcoming hurdles, places where you're stuck to get you moving again. And you can reach Bruce at coachingcardia.com. Hey, we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments to give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.